Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook podcast, where we uncover the strategies and insights driving extraordinary business growth. Today, we're joined by Joel Quintella, founder and CEO of Quintella Group, a minority-owned business revolutionizing HR technology solutions for Fortune 500 companies. Yeah. Joel brings over 25 years of experience in HR assessment technology, combining his unique background with computer system engineering with also a PhD in business psychology, which I found is really interesting. And since he's founded the company, he's worked with various Fortune 500 companies, even Fortune 10 companies probably heard of, to really help them transform their hiring process through innovative assessment technology and skill-based hiring approaches here. Joel, it's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to chat with you.
Cool. Well, I figure probably where we should start off is perhaps like a bit of background, like yourself, how you got into this space. I know you've obviously been in this space for quite a while, like 25 years. I personally know you. We obviously work together, but for all like the other people out there that might not know your story and who you are.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And actually, I can trace it back to my first life goal. Like, what am I going to be when I grow up?
Okay.
And this is like middle school, junior high, intermediate school age, and the goal was to own IBM. That was my goal.
You close yet or not yet?
Well, you know, we're not. No. We are partners though with IBM, which is cool. But that sort of shaped everything I was doing. A couple of things. One, I wanted to own IBM, not work at IBM. Early on, I figured I'm probably going to have to be the owner of whatever I'm doing. And number two, it's technology that I really, really like and value technology. In fact, when, you know, at that time, my father worked at Texas Instrument and they were doing a lot of toys as well. So we would always, mm-hmm. Christmas, get the cool toys, including the computer. That's where I started programming at that age. And then eventually I went into, you know, upgraded to an IBM. And then from there, I decided to start college as a computer system engineer. Because that's just what I wanted to do. And then I took an intro psych class and everything just hit. So they were putting words to things that I sort of knew already about people. So I said, that's probably where I want to go in that direction. And then I just cruised right through. I was just kind of playing around before college. Took me a long time to graduate. But when I hit that, I just went right through. But I always kept the technology side of it. So everywhere I went, after graduating and even before, it was always, I like psychology, but I didn't like the fact that people were just sort of okay with talking about stuff. Like the ivory tower, what do they call it, right? And, you know, people have conversations for 2 hours, but nothing would happen, right? I'm going, what is that? This doesn't even work, right? So everything I did, I don't know, professors probably didn't like that, but everything I did was, this is actually work, you know, in real life. So I quickly started doing internships. Then sort of went different places, worked internally, worked at different consulting firms. And everywhere I went, I just stayed with the technology. You know, at that time it was pretty limited technology and the internet was just about to take off. But either way, I started taking notes on what to do, what not to do with technology. And HR tech is weird. Because it's really complex. There are a lot of buttons on, so all of my, you know, whatever you're using, any of the big giants or whatever ATS you're using, everybody says it's simple, but then they train you for 2 weeks how to use it. I don't think that's simple. I don't know. Anyway, so when I got the opportunity in 2009 to put my money where my mouth is, because frankly, I wasn't really employable. I'm not a good employee. I guess I knew that in middle school. So I finally said, all right, well, I kind of have an idea what I want to do. 2009, created my company. But we came with the two sides. So we sort of knew on the people side, you know, why our clients have to do what they're doing or why they're doing it. But also we could translate, okay, I get what you want to do. Because a lot of times clients, you know, they have an idea of what they want to do, and then maybe even a solution to doing that because maybe another tech told them that. And yeah. Often we're going, well, if you want to do that, you probably don't want to do what you were saying. You probably want to do this, this, and this. So we minimize clicks typically. And that's what we've been doing for the past, you know, 15 or whatever years. And we work with Fortune 500s, you know, mainly, you know, helping them set up assessments, set up structured interviews so that they can hire the best people. So we really play a lot in the hiring space.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. And I think one thing that's really interesting is with like your background, there's like the psychology aspect of things. And then there's obviously like the computer system engineering, which are totally like separate, like they're not even close in like any way, but they're like somewhat combined in like a really unique way that when you look at like HR, you're able to apply like the psychology aspect of things, but also like the engineering side of things to be more like efficient with like any technology, anything like that. And when you're in HR, like the psychology and like human like side to like component is like really important. Like you have to be able to connect with these people.
Exactly. And it's extremely important. And my favorite quote, just in general, is the best way to predict the future is to create it. Mm. I think it's Abraham Lincoln. I don't know who it is. but if you think about, you know, and we're working in, you know, in big organizations, and all we're doing with everything within an organization is trying to predict behavior. Mm. That's all I do. So in the hiring space, it's a prediction game, right? I don't know if you're going to do well in 3 months or 6 months or 9 months. Don't know. So what I'm trying to do, you know, in that whatever weeks or whatever, is try to increase my prediction, try to get better at saying, okay, you know, Zach is probably going to stay there for 3 months or 6 months, or maybe he's not because of this, this, and this. So it's a prediction game. Everything we do, my job is just to maximize that prediction. So maximize hits, minimize misses. Mm-hmm. Cause you're always, you know, you're going to have, you know, you're not going to hit everything right. And that just takes very simple technology. And we always work with that number of clicks is always what we do. How many clicks does it take you to take an assessment, or how many clicks it take you to get the report? How many clicks it take you to the, you know, structured interview, which is one of the reasons, I think one of the main reasons why we have the huge clients, you know, cause we're pretty different in terms of what everything looks like on the screen. Mm. You know, our training is, you know, 30 minutes, maybe. We push it out. It's 30 minutes, but that's by design. Like, you know, I don't put a lot of stuff on the page. I don't want to, you know, put a lot of words on the page. I just want you to do what you have to do as quickly as possible.
So you take like that same approach, you're just being like really more efficient, reducing like number of clicks and making it like really understandable. And one thing that I guess I would be curious is you mentioned that in like HR, it's all about around like probabilities where like that person might be staying there. Like, how would you say that you guys go about like increasing that probability? Because I know that's like one thing you mentioned. There's like these little changes. You mentioned simple tool, but for anyone out there, like they would probably see this as like a really complicated one, in my experience at least.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not rocket science. And my wife actually hates that I say that. She's going, it's not rocket science to you, but you know,
there you go.
You might want to explain things. And the best way to explain that is that you have to start with knowing what's required of the job. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to know what that person is going to do when they get to the job. So what does performance look like? And what qualities do you need to do those things? So you got to be pretty accurate on that. And a lot of companies, you know, think it's a resume and it's slapped together, or, you know, now AI is generating job descriptions, you know, fairly quickly, but it doesn't take a lot of time, by the way. It's just a matter of, you know, asking people who know what's required of the job. Hey, what do you think? You know, what do these people have to do? What kind of, you know, qualities do they need? You know, communication, resolving conflict, or whatever, but you gotta be, that's number one. You gotta have that clearly outlined. Mm. And then you work backwards and you go, well, okay, what assessments or role plays or interviews do you need to do to get that stuff? Interviews are good for certain things.
Yeah.
And tests are good for certain things, and role plays are good for certain things. But you got to start with the list, and then you can sort of work backwards and say, okay, this assessment is probably, you know, the best that we can use. You know, if you're talking about assessments, you can categorize them in two ways. There are screen out assessments. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what they are. The screen out assessments are, they're only powerful enough to tell you who the bottom 30 are. That's it. And there are other assessments that allow you to select in. So those more powerful assessments can say Zach is a 90, other person is an 80, Zach is probably going to do better. Mm-hmm. They can differentiate at that high, but they're just more powerful. So early on, you use the really low cost screen out stuff. And then over, you know, when you're selecting people in, then you get a bit more deliberate. Like your interviews have to be a bit more structured, because there are ways to interview. And it's not just a formal conversation.
Yeah. And like one of the things that I find interesting is like your approach that you take is there's like a lot of emphasis on like the skill-based like hiring side of things, with like a lot of companies try to like implement this, but they completely fail at it because they don't know how to do it. And you mentioned obviously having like those initial screening to be able to figure out like over maybe like a pool of 1,000 candidates, you're able to like narrow that down. And then there's like multiple phases in the funnel to make sure that you get like the best candidate. But that first one is going to be the most simple one. Yeah. Then you start diving into the better, more, a bit more complicated, I would say. Yeah. But I guess I would be curious to hear like, what is like your approach when it comes to like skill-based like hiring, and like what kind of mistakes do you perhaps see when working with these type of companies? As I'm assuming there's a lot of them that might try to implement them right away, and it can totally flop, if not done properly.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're noticing. So everybody's really excited about this skills-based, you know, approach or whatever. You know, we were doing this for many years. Now it's called skills. We don't care, right? Whatever. It's a list of something, right? That you've identified, right? But, you know, the skills approach, you know, at its basic, concept is first you have to create an architecture. So you basically have to look at all your jobs and make sure they're aligned in the way that makes sense, right? You could have, right now, you could have five different customer service titles in different places, pay different things, do different things. First way is you got to get that right. Number two is you have to do that profile that I was talking about for every one of those jobs. Because you got to know, right? If it's a skills-based, you know, process, I have to know which skills are required for this role.
Yeah.
It just takes, you know, you have to do that, right? And then the second one is what typically is to actually assess all of the employees, figure out what skills they have, which it sounds easy to people, and that's what happens. They come in, the architecture is really easy because, you know, the big players have their own architecture and they're sort of just mapping onto whatever you have quickly. But then when you get to the skills profiling, you know, some of the giants, maybe like IBM, right, has some cool stuff. I have an existing profile, for example. But, you know, there are a lot of gaps, and you know, even the existing profiles, companies are looking at and going, this kind of makes sense for me, but not really. I got to do calibration. But so they're noticing, first part, pretty simple. Second part is getting pretty difficult now, because it's more difficult. It just doesn't work that way, especially for your company, right? A salesperson in your company is not the same thing as a salesperson in another company, even though they have this right title. Doesn't matter.
Of course.
But that's what they're doing, right? Sort of giving you a blanket, whatever. So that is starting to get really difficult for people. And it is a technology play. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, you know, a lot of folks don't have that profiling capability in their platform. Like they don't necessarily, you know, it's not a huge, feature that, but I'm going, well, I know you have to profile stuff, so I'm going to make it as easy as possible for you. So we created a profiler that allows people to do that fairly quickly. And then the third one is really where people just fall off the rails, is assessing their individuals. So that's the current folks. But the other side is also when you're hiring, you have to hire for those skills as well.
Yeah.
Assessment component, that's pretty difficult for people to do.
Mm-hmm. And that's where typically you guys come in. You guys are able to help on that yeah. side of things.
Okay. Yeah, and it's again, you know, it's not, it's, all right. I always try to break things down to very simple, whatever, right? Because again, a number of clicks, philosophy. Yeah. And skills, they're just what I was talking about before. Well, the assessments, you can you know, highlight, or you can identify them as screen outs and select ins. Skills are the same way. There are select out skills that if you don't have this ability, like Excel, for example, or, Python or something else, right? Yeah. It's not really a more is better. It's more of a, do you have the minimum requirement to do the job? And that's mm-hmm. it. So a lot of skills, they call them hard skills sometimes.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are screen outs. There are screen in or select in skills. And those are the ones that are more difficult for people to measure because you just don't have the tools. But it's the same thing we're talking about now, which is assessments, role plays, interviews for sure, simulations of some sort, NASA presentations, whatever they are, to get at those skills, right? So hopefully you've profiled correctly and then you've identified some sort of a process or number of assessments that you can use that's pretty cost effective and it's not 15 hours or whatever to take. Yeah. That's hard for people to do, because you have your own technology and then these assessments come in different technology, so you have to try to integrate them in specific places within the hiring process, right? Your screening out or screen, and that gets quite a bit more difficult. So that integration piece of it,
it's very crucial.
Crazy mess, yeah, for folks.
Yeah, and one thing that you obviously focus more on working with enterprise company, because that's where you can provide the most value. But if you were to look at perhaps even medium sized companies, and you look at more Fortune 500, these really enterprise big companies, is there really a main difference that you see between these type of companies and their hiring, assessing, interview process? I'm assuming these Fortune 500, as you mentioned, do have their own software, perhaps custom tools built, which can sometimes be a little bit difficult to integrate your assessments and stuff like that. But I'd be curious to hear if there's a main difference between the two or not.
Yeah. So the goal is the same, right? The need is still the same. I need to hire the best people because if I do that, I win. I make more money if I hire better people, right? That's just the way it goes. It's just a matter of, what sort of things you need to do to set that up. And with larger companies, there are a lot more things that you have to consider, when you're, identifying the best assessments. That's the easy part. That's fine.
That's fair.
And a lot of people use, they have a lot of companies that are, they've built some of this stuff that's pretty good. So, company is going to probably select 3 or 4 of these, vendors to do that versus do their own thing. But that gets quite a bit more complex because now they have a huge HRS system, a huge HRS system, and it's quite a bit more difficult to integrate different things into the platform. Yeah. They're just, these big giants can't move very quickly. They can't take a lot of data, so it's sort of difficult. But once you get into the middle of it, the thing is the same, right? You need to hire better people, but for them, it's a bit more of a plug and play. So they do have technology, and interestingly enough, the big players, there are sort of big technology companies that are specifically designed for enterprise. And then now they're sort of the middle technology that do the same thing, but they're just much more user-friendly. Mm. At the middle level, it's just a better experience for folks and people like me that want to integrate into the platforms. They make it a lot easier to do that.
Yeah,
which is cool. Which is interesting now. There's the middle players are now starting to.
That's interesting because your approach is to make it more efficient, reduce the number of clicks. But enterprise hasn't really fully integrated that approach. But when you look at middle market, it's much more friendly, easy to use, etc. Right?
Exactly. So it was that way for a long time. But some of the big players in the middle, the middle ground, are now starting to take over some of the big players. Or even things like you might have one of the big players, could use one of the middle folks can sit on top of the big player. And the big player is the system of record with all the data, but the user interface is this cool stuff. It's interesting how they do it, but yeah. So, you know, the big players have to, they're going to have to adjust or they're going to just get smashed. Some of the stuff is pretty cool.
And like you've obviously launched like the company a while back, you've been in the space like quite a while. And I imagine like the HR tech space was quite different. And I mean, I assume probably like all these years ago, HR tech might've not actually been like an actual like industry, like word in like a way. So it's somewhat like evolved like pretty like heavily. Like what kind of changes would you see, say that you've seen between like the time before then and now? Like I know one of the things that we're seeing is obviously AI, which we'll touch into like a second here, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So number one, so the need has never changed. I still need to hire the best people. And there's a way to increase probability of hiring the best people. That has not changed. What has changed also that nobody really talks about is there are a ton of new players in this space. I mean, there's one that comes up every day, if not every hour. There's huge, I wouldn't want to be an internal, you know, talent acquisition professional that has to look at this sea of, you know, heavily funded, you know, cool looking, you know, whatever. Everybody's saying the same thing, and especially with AI, everybody's saying AI, you know, will do everything for you. I don't know how to decide, right? You know, what to use. They're just flooded. You know, these companies would talk about disrupting the talent acquisition space. Mm-hmm. Well, but nobody really talks about the disrupted. How about the people being disrupted? Shouldn't we talk to them a little bit, see how they feel? But it's nuts out there. And then, you know, of course, the AI stuff coming in, which is cool. But, you know, it's cool for some stuff and not cool for other stuff. The stuff that it's cool for and you really should use it for is to sort of automate the repetitive task.
I agree.
Little things like scheduling interviews for your candidates. That's a huge process. And companies, huge companies, will do some crazy stuff to do that. And they're scheduling their own thing, using Excel spreadsheets, using Outlook, using whatever. It's crazy. So they hire a whole team to do this scheduling when, you know, you can have an AI or even just a scheduling program that could do that for you, which is really cool, right? And it can do it very quickly, which is a big plus on the candidate side, right? Because especially on the interview side, the most important thing for candidate experience is communication and timely communication. Yeah. The ghosting, right? So it used to be that companies were ghosting candidates. Now it's sort of the other way around.
It's the opposite.
Which I'm going, well, what do you expect? You know, you didn't treat them, you know, whatever, well, you should have. But, you know, AI is really helping on that side to minimize, you know, that risk and create efficiency, which is really cool. Now, what we're seeing, especially I do a lot of the interview space. That's the face-to-face interview where it's, you know, in person or, you know, Zoom. So it's a conversation that we're having. And we create structured interviews. So to maximize the probability that I'm going to hire the right person, which just means that I've identified what the person does and what's required. Now I'm just going to ask questions about those things. That's it. You know, hey, have you ever been part of a team that, you know, two people were pretty upset at each other and they were, you know, what do you do, right? Because I know when you get into the job, you're going to run into them very quickly. So I need to know, have you done this before? If not, I mean, okay, what would you do? Well, because you're going to do it, right? So I know what's going to happen. So it's that's all you have to do in the interview process. But it's a structured, you know, we know what we need. We know which questions we should ask. What we're noticing quite a bit is AI is transcribing the conversation. So we're running into that quite a bit. It's even, the heavy, HR influencers are just pushing this idea, and they're going nuts because these heavily funded, you know, there's a few players that are just, you know, blitzing the market. Mm-hmm. It's cool stuff. What's kind of cool is the transcribing, right? So it's the It's kind of like the repetitive task. I'm going to save you some time because, you know, if you do these structured interviews, the interviewers have to write down notes in a specific way. And they have a 5-point scale that says, this is what bad looks like, this is what good looks like. And it's a fairly structured process. But taking notes is a big thing. So transcribing, well, on the surface, transcribing is safe. It isn't, by the way, but that's okay. And then there's a summarization component to it where, all right, I don't want to go through 60 minutes of, you know, text. I just need to, you know, go to the, you know,
the summary.
What's happening, right? So there's a summary component. So conceptually, that's a good idea, right? Hmm. But what's happening is that now, you know, some of this technology is now making judgments.
Hmm.
So, you know, transcribing something, it's got to be accurate, which is great.
Yeah.
And by the way, all the transcription models do not transcribe the same for people of color versus not people of color. It's a known fact that it does not transcribe correctly, but, you know, who cares? Everybody's going, you know, going through. And now the summarization, when we're summarizing now, AI is making some judgment calls.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the interviewer didn't like the response that the candidate gave. So when you start crossing that line where now you start making judgments about whatever. And yeah. I've seen, you know, companies that are doing facial recognition stuff. And, you know, some people did it before, but, you know, you see that out on the outside of the U.S. quite a bit. They're like, they're just doing whatever. They're videoing your expressions, the tone, the body language, probably even what you have in the background. It's doing everything.
Yeah.
And then it's making some judgments about, you know, what it is. When you start crossing that line, that's when you start getting in trouble. Because that for sure is gonna work differently for different backgrounds. When hiring, you got to do two things. One, you cannot discriminate. There are laws specifically that you have to. So, you know, diversity, whatever, is built into that process. The other one is quality of hire, which is what we're talking about. You know, making sure that you're assessing what's required. Mm-hmm. So once you start making judgments, then now you start crossing the line because we know for sure summarizing text is not the same for people of color. People don't care though. They just, you know,
saves them time. I see where you're going.
You're gonna go, well, you know, my AI is not biased, and, you know, we remove all bias from whatever. I don't think you have the data that says that, because there's no way you could say you do that, right? I'm like, wow, if you did it, that'd be really cool. Nobody's sharing that kind of data, you know, because everybody knows, right? You know, transcribing is different. So is summarization. You know, they're just full. You know, let's just do it, everybody. It's the greatest thing since whatever, because it looks kind of cool, right, on the surface, you know. But we work with pretty big companies that do care about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't necessarily, we are, but we're doing it correctly. We can't necessarily, you know, implement. I mean, just getting transcribing the notes at a Fortune 10 is a huge conversation. You have your legal department is going to get involved quickly. You have your compliance is going to get involved. Your data security folks are going to go, you want to transcribe everything? Is that you're saying you want us to put IP, confidential information in this conversation? Yeah, that's what you want to do. Okay. So we're having to tackle those challenges, right? Because we agree, right? Yeah, you can't do stupid stuff. But, you know, so some of these other players that are just going nuts, they're kind of focusing on the lower, middle, maybe high growth, you know, for folks that are kind of like them. But they're noticing that once you go to a huge company, you are going to have 10
a lot more rules to follow.
You have 10 people asking you a lot of questions about it. And we get a lot of things like, hey, you guys want to transcribe notes? And my clients go, are you nuts? Yeah, go talk to my legal. Good luck, right? Just do it.
Yeah.
No way.
So, like, I'm definitely hearing that with, like, AI, like, all these new technologies, like, emerging, it's really helping to be more efficient in, like, a way, like, automating, saving time for, like, these, like, repetitive tasks. But there is somewhat, like, a balance between that, where if you're dealing with, like, these types of things, as you mentioned, like, transcribing, you have to make sure first it's accurate. And in my experience, I know that sometimes when I use it to transcribe my text, it's going to say, like, a completely different word than I've said.
Exactly.
And it completely messes, like, the entire flow. And then if you take that into consideration, you have an AI that summarizes what you've said. And then there's words first that are incorrect. And second, the AI is making judgment calls.
Exactly. It's
probably not going to be factual. And that's where you probably have to be careful. I understand, like, these small, medium-sized businesses, like, maybe overlooking it a little bit. But when you're dealing with, like, Fortune 100, 510 companies, you really have to be careful. Like, compliance, legal, like you mentioned. And I'm assuming that can be, like, a very big risk for, like, a lot of these companies.
It's a huge risk. And the, you know, the EEOC, the Equal Opportunity Employer, the government, the, you know, for the private sector, they'll come after you. They are more than very happy to plaster on their site. We sued, you know, JCPenney.
Yeah.
They paid for this. They're going to go after you, right? And your candidates know that they can do that also. So if anything looks kind of weird, they are going to challenge. They're going to get this EEOC involved and go, that you discriminated against me. And now it's up to the company to say, no, we didn't. This is why we didn't. And if you can't say, we created a profile, these people said, this is what we need. The assessments we're using are tapping into those things correctly. We're asking questions in a very specific way. We're taking notes in a very specific way. That's how you win.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, you're going to pay a lot of money.
Yeah. So it has to be done, like, most people want to do it more, like, efficiently, but there's also the effectively, like, accurate, like, component where you have to be very careful around that, especially when you're dealing with these major companies. On one of the things I guess I would be curious is, when you look at these, like, companies trying to implement, like, digital, like, implementing more technology, AI, etc., like, within their processes, is there, like, certain, like, mistakes that you see them do when they're just getting started and doing so, like, without, like, that proper guidance? Or
they're finding it's you know, unless you go with the vendor's system themselves, they take care of everything.
Yeah.
So the AI is embedded within their system. And then hopefully that system is integrated with, you know, whatever system you have. That's a lot easier. But if you're trying to integrate, like, an AI assessment, for example, you need to have it right in a very specific place. That becomes a bit more difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
And people are finding out.
It's based,
you know, it's a lot more difficult than they thought. First, which is huge, you got to get past these 10 people. Whatever it is you're using, and assessments even that have AI that are pushing back. You have a whole nother aftermarket. We have auditors. So you have companies that just do that audit.
Mm-hmm.
That, because that's what these laws are coming down and going, look, if you're using AI, you got to do certain things. And one of them, you have to have a third party auditor come in and say, yeah, you are not discriminating. We, you know, give you, you know, stamp of approval. There's a whole new, huge, you know, it's big money, right? It's sort of, you know, people are trying to figure out what the laws mean or whatever at the moment, but it's going to come fast.
And
these folks that are doing AI, I mean, let's be honest, they don't know what the AI is doing, right?
No.
It's
like a lot of, like, pros and cons where, like, great, we can be more efficient, save time. And then the cons, well, you'll have to be audited. You're going to have, like, two departments that need to be following exactly what you're doing to make sure you're compliant. And you have to have legal involved. So you have to make sure that there's, like, this middle ground. I feel like a lot of companies right now might not want to get into, like, these types of things to avoid that. But I feel like as we go through all these stages, it becomes, like, more evolved. There's probably going to be more companies that do so. And get, like, aware, like, how to follow these regulation laws and just be more educated just overall around the entire process.
Exactly. That's what we do, right? So we're going, all right, yeah, we're going to transcribe notes, but you got to do it this way. And by the way, you're going to have data that says it's not discriminating, you know, even in transcription. And in the summary, you're going to have the data that says, I mean, not only that it's not you know, transcribing differently, like you were talking about the, you know, you're there's changing your words. There's also the experience component that is a huge, there's a whole industry on candidate experience. There's even awards on candidate experience, you know, who's got the best candidate experience. And it makes a lot of sense, right? So if, like if Walmart, you know, pisses off all of their candidates, they're not going to shop at Walmart.
No.
That's a lot of money. So candidate experience is important, but nobody has the data that says people of color trust AI to make decisions the same as non-people of color. Nobody has that data. Everybody says, we don't discriminate, but nobody has that data. Nobody's sharing that.
It's
so weird. But, you know, you can do it. So we know what we need to have for legal. We need to, we know we, what we have to have for compliance, for data security, for, you know, IT just in general. Because it is there is value in using AI for sure, but you just have to do it responsibly. And everybody says, you know, their AI is ethical, whatever, but they don't have any data that says they're just going to start. So they looked at it and said, you know, whatever. But there is a way to do that. And we can start getting into, you know, even some of this stuff. But you gotta do your work. I mean, you gotta, you know, because they're gonna ask you. Lee is going to say, how do you know this, right? You're just making, you know, making stuff up. Which you are, by the way, just making things up. It's exciting.
Definitely. And I know that there's going to be so many more like tools coming up, like every single lens, all going to be around evolving, staying ahead of the pace on, I guess, for like any perhaps like HR professional, like within like one of like these big organization or even like company owners trying to just narrow it down or like make their like hiring assessment interview process more efficient. Is there like one piece of advice that you would have? And I know that can be like a bit general, but is there like one main piece of advice that you would have for anyone trying to make perhaps like digital, like digitize like their entire process and make it like more efficient on that side of things?
It's the foundation. A lot of people skip the part that I mentioned before, which is you have to take the time to figure out what the person needs to do and what's required to do that. A lot of people don't do that because for whatever reason, I'm going, if you don't have that right, it doesn't matter what you do in the process. You got to have that foundation. I know it's not glamorous to say that, but
that's true.
You know, You need to know what that is for, and then you need to know everything you do in that process is trying to tap into that. Otherwise, you might as well flip a coin, right? On the predictability side, which is what people do, right? Because they don't take that process. And it's not that difficult, by the way, right? You talk to the manager or talk to, you know, a couple of peers, and they'll tell you exactly, listen, I'm doing this, and this, because they know I've hired a few people that didn't have this, and it went wrong. You'll know. It's just a conversation to have, and then it works best if you have sort of a structure, if you have a model of skills or whatever that you can focus on versus, you know, hiring managers that have to make stuff up. It's that. You got to start with that. If nothing else, you got to do that and worry about, you know, how you're going to do this, whether it's just an off-the-shelf, whatever, AI, you know, interviews, whatever it is, all that stuff is guided by that one thing. We do a lot of that, you know, especially with Fortune 500. It's a lot of the glamorous, not glamorous stuff. But you know, if companies are, you know, interviewing 200,000 people, there's a structure that needs to be
followed,
in place to do that. It's just the, you know, the nature of a huge company. So there's a lot of, you know, blocking, tackling, not glamorous stuff that has to be done to do that. And we sort of do a lot of that, because you'd be surprised at how, you know, how tolerant these huge companies are about like the scheduling. Sometimes I go, what are you doing?
Google Sheet.
How do you, and they're like, no, it's just the way I've done it. It's just, you know, it's just the way it goes. And they're like, yeah, you don't have to do that. And they're like blown away. Like, what? It happens all the time. You know, these huge companies are just tolerating, you know, doing stuff just, you know, you know, without technology or, you know, whatever, it's just not doing correctly. That's a crazy mess. So that just takes more of the non-glamour stuff to try to help them, you know, do some of that stuff. And when you do that, then you can actually move them to the glamorous sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we get a...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, we get a lot of, especially in sales calls, especially with AI, you know, we get a lot of, hey, you know, what's best practice? Or, you know, what kind of cool things are you doing with AI, right? And I'm going, well, let's put it this way. You know, you don't hear a coach, you know, tell their team, let's focus on the national championship in week two.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they're, I'm going to try to get you to the next game. How about that? Let's win the next game. Right. Don't talk about this. Yeah. Cause you can't even do it. Right. You don't even have the infrastructure. Yeah. But anyway. So it's kind of a weird question for me.
No, that's fair. So just having that structure like in place and then doing like the step-by-step, not trying to go to like the glamorous stuff, like using AI, like doing what actually needs to be done to move the needle, and having that good like system foundation in place, that's really just how you move the needle overall.
Exactly. And it's a I gotta crawl before I walk. I need to walk before I run.
Yeah.
I need to run before I you're gonna waste a lot of money internally.
Yeah.
Just try to fix stuff. It's just that, you know, okay. I gotta do certain things to help me go from crawling to walking. Because frankly, you don't know what walking looks like in that crawling. Have no idea what walking looks, right?
Yeah.
You're getting there going, whoa, okay, this is what it is? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then how about particular, you know, running? They don't know what that looks like, you know, until they get there. Anyway. God.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, I really appreciate your time, Joel. That was like pretty like enlightening, I would say. We haven't added like a lot of people like the HRI side of things. It's always something really interesting here. But yeah, if there's like anyone that would want to like get in touch with you, they want to reach out to you, like what's like the best way to do so?
You can email me. I'm happy to do that. It's pretty simple. It's joel@quintela.io, and that's spelled joel@quintela.io. So I named my company after myself. That's no ego involved here.
There you go. Perfect. Well, I really appreciate your time, Joel, today.